Invite you to turn to the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Ask your prayers to courtesy of your attention for a little while. Beginning with the first verse, the scripture reads, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." We can't tell God where to talk to us in life. He is the wise one. We are at His discretion. God has ordained ways to speak to people. One of those ways is right here in worship service. Sometimes folks take the attitude in life that I don't need any church, don't need to belong to a church or be part of a church. That's trying to tell God where He can talk to you. We don't have that control. The Lord told Jeremiah, who was a prophet, the man of God, called to the work of God, "Arise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words." The way to the potter's house is down. He didn't say, go up to the potter's house. The way to hear from the Lord is a downhill way. It's when we humble ourselves. His voice becomes comprehensible to us. So Jeremiah did what the Lord said. He went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." And, of course, that had a particular application to those folks. The Lord was trying to deal with them about the specifics of the situation they were in life. But it's in the Bible because it also applies down to your time and mine, and the specifics of our situation. So I think maybe it'd be no injustice to the Scripture to take it from that context and apply it to our own lives. And just talk about potters and making pottery a little bit. Anybody make pottery here? Some know a little bit about that. Probably know more than I do then. I've never made a pot, but I studied it a little bit. Try to see how it's done. I found out some interesting things. First off, you can't make pottery out of just any old kind of dirt. It takes a special kind of clay. It's got to have certain components in it. There's something in the Bible about that. Clay that's got iron in it, it'll not be strong. You can't make it hold together. The particles don't blend correctly. And if a pot is made that's got iron mixed in with the clay, It has flaws. It has weaknesses in it at the spots where the iron is. And if something should happen to hit it, which it invariably will in use, it'll shatter at that point. So the clay that's used to make pottery, which is a very old art, has got to be pretty pure. There are a bunch of different kinds of clay. And I suppose one of the skills of being a potter, there's no skill for the clay. The clay just pretty much is dirt, and it just lays there till somebody comes and makes something out of it. And the comparison, of course, is you and me to the clay, and God to being the potter, to make of our lives what He wants to. I'll tell you what, folks, we try to make something of ourselves, it's nothing. It doesn't really amount to anything. It takes the Lord to make a useful vessel out of a human being. And He, in His wisdom, in His world, created all kinds of clay. I've walked around over a lot of it through the years. Dirt of every type. But I'd never make anything out of any of it. It takes God to be able to sort it out. It takes skill and understanding to be able to look at the clay and see what can be made out of this particular type. It takes God to look at a human being, which after all is His creation, and visualize what can be made out of this person. If I would take your life or you would take mine and try to make something useful out of it, wouldn't we make a mess? It takes the Lord for any or all of us. So I found that there are many different kinds of clay, and the types of vessels that are made from clay depends on what the clay is. And my research showed that there are basically three different kinds of pottery that are made. First is what we call earthenware. Earthenware is those big vessels that we see sometimes. And they're porous. You can put stones in them. You can put beans or dry goods in them. If you put water in them or liquids, eventually it'll leak out. But they're useful. They're big. Most of the time they are. They're fired over a lower temperature fire. The clay contains silica. Silica is sand. Silica is what glass is made out of. Glass forms itself into a solid by being made hot. The hotter it is, the more the change takes place in the silica that's in the clay. And when you fire clay that's got certain amounts of silica in it, I guess the potters are able to look at the different kind of clay and tell which one is the most suited for which purpose. They pick out the one that's better suited to stand the hotter fire, to make the better glazed vessel. Some of them can be painted. Some of them can be molded and shaped in different ways according to the texture of the clay. Some of them can't do very much with. They just make a big old pot. But if you're going to hold beans or if you're going to hold rice, well, you need a big old pot. And you don't really care very much whether it's got a fancy design on the outside of it or it's got a tapered neck or any of those other kind of ornaments. You just want it to be big and have a lid that you can put on it. Well, that's one kind of vessel. You know, it takes the Lord to look at a person's life and tell whether he wants them to be a big old vessel and have lots of different kind of things go through them. Some vessels he wants to be very refined, very particular. And one of the things that determines what that is, the amount of silica that's in the clay, along with the other ingredients that I don't all understand. And then the second is the amount of fire that's put on the clay. The first of the three kinds of pottery is earthenware, and then there's stoneware. Stoneware is fired hotter than earthenware, and stoneware has a glaze. And then there's porcelain. You got any porcelain in your house? Every one of us got some porcelain in our houses. Porcelain, when it's fired, turns white. And it gets a hard glaze on it, like glass. And water doesn't go through that. And they make kitchen or they make lavatory sinks out of it sometimes, and other plumbing fixtures, things like that. And it holds water. It takes a potter to be able to distinguish which kind of clay is available and do the things that are necessary to make the clay useful for the purposes that he has. Here are some of the things that people make out of pottery, out of clay. Been doing this for thousands of years, of vessels. They make jugs and pitchers and planters and teapots. Fragile little glass teapots that make great big porcelain fixtures that stand a lot of abuse, or they make the most delicate and fragile little teapots that have a lid that perfectly fits on there. Somebody shaped that, a lot of them, by hand, by knowing what to do, determined by the kind of clay that's used, the way it works in the potter's hands, determined by what the potter's design was. We sing a song sometimes that says, "Who am I to tell the potter why he made the vessel so?" If the Lord chooses to make one vessel a delicate instrument, and he makes another a crude bowl, what right have any of us to tell him what to do? I mind, for instance, years ago, we're dealing with a difficult situation. Two or three other ministers and me. And this was a minister's assessment who spoke with me about it. You don't have to agree with it. We were talking about another brother. I said, "Why is he not here with us?" My brother minister, my friend, said to me, "He's a poet." He said, "Soldiers don't put their poets out on the front lines. It'll ruin them. He sees things you and I don't see. He deals in ethereal worlds. You get him out here, so you and me are made for battle. We're made to get our heads cracked and go through the blood and the gore. But he's made to sit back behind the lines and write a beautiful poem about it to inspire us to go out here. And if you put him out here where we are, it'll ruin him. You know, God's got some people that are like that are poets. And it's a mistake to think that every vessel can be used to hold rice. And it's a mistake to try to use every kind of vessel for a teapot. It takes God to put each one of the vessels in his church as it pleased him. The way to the potter's house is down, folks. It's not up. And when we get down into low places, we learn to value every vessel that's in the Lord's house because it came from the potter's hands. And he makes it the vessel that pleases him to do. Notice what is said here. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hand. The potter made the vessel. While I was doing my studying for this little discourse this evening, one of the things that I found being instructed about the use of clay is, when a potter takes a lump of clay in his hands, or her hands, intending to make a vessel, it's important to have a picture in your mind before you start of what the finished vessel will be. Have you ever looked at your life and said, I wonder what this finished vessel will be? Sister Esther's talking about keeping herself consecrated to the Lord. When you make that consecration and you're 18 years old or you're 20 years old, you really have no idea what it might be that the Lord turns you into. And that's what you're saying. Lord, if I keep this myself, I'm going to try to make it the vessel I think it ought to be. I plan my own life. I'll decide where I live, the career. Now it'll be a mess. Better give it to you. So you give it to the Lord, and that's what it means. You give up control. You don't know what you're going to be. Because some things he makes into jugs and pitchers and planters and teapots and vases. And some he makes into bowls and goblets and mugs and napkin rings and plates and dishes and saucers and teacups and candle holders and fountains and beads and lamps and sculpture and tiles and chimney pots. Who wants to be a chimney pot? You know what a chimney pot is? When you build a chimney and it goes up through the roof and up on the top of it there's a piece of clay, tile, that's a chimney flue that the smoke goes out of. And if they leave it there, the rain comes down through that, so they make something that shields over that, and that's a chimney pot. And all it does is keep the rain from running down inside the fireplace. But you know, when we have a tornado, that chimney pot's pretty important. It's what keeps your living room from being flooded. What if the chimney pot would say, why can't I be a teapot? Shall a thing made say to him that made it, why hast thou made me so? God's got the right to make out of our lives, every one of us, individually, what he wants us to be. So one of the things he makes is chimney pots and mosaics and murals and plaques and casserole dishes and cookie jars and mixing bowls and pie plates and salad bowls and trays made out of clay and bugles and drums and bongos and flutes and horns and pipe organs and shakers and whistles and chimes and dolls and jumping jacks and rattles and bricks and door trim and fireplaces. All out of clay. It takes the master to look at the clay and know where it's from and know what to make out of it. So it takes the master to take every one of us and fit us into useful vessels in his kingdom. Isn't that what he said in his word? In a great house there are many vessels. There are napkin rings and there are teapots and there are chimney pots. And there are tiles around a door. And there are bricks. If all you get to be is a brick in life, a brick's pretty important. All you have to do to find out how important is take one out of the wall. And you see your city. Have you ever noticed if there's a brick cracked or broken or taken out of a wall? A long brick wall. A tall brick wall. A beautiful brick wall. Many bricks in it. Which brick do you notice? Sure, it's the one that's missing. It's the same with you and me in the gospel work. If we do not allow the Lord to set us in the body where he wants us to, with part that's missing, and it's something lacking. It hurts. The Lord wants to make something out of every one of our lives. Well, how do you get to the place where you make a vessel of some sort, a teapot, or a cookie jar, or a bugle. Well, there's a process for clay to be put through. It's got to be ground. Did you know that? They've actually got a grinding machine that they put this stuff through and grind it all up, and it's a mess. It's a nasty job. And they have to mix it with water and get it to just the right consistency. They grind it and mix it with water until it's like plastic. And this process is called pugging. And they used to do it by hand, and now they do it with machines, and that's not really very much better, it sounds like. You got a little power for the actual grinding part, but it's hard work lifting that stuff up because clay is heavy and putting it down in there and feeding it out, mixing the water, slings mud and pieces all over everywhere. Part of it that they put in is just dry dust. Takes a lot of skill. It's not a highly desirable job. I think there's a lesson in there for us. The scripture said, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And the script, the importance of it is not that we should perhaps seek to excel in life or to better ourselves or to be competent in what we do, but it means to regard that there is value in the mundane things, in the day-to-day, in the little tasks. Somebody makes my truck able to run because they change the tires when I need to. That's not a highly esteemed job, but if my truck's going to run very far, somebody's got to do it. The Lord put Himself in the place of doing what I'd call the grunt work in making a vessel out of you and me because He is the one who works with the clay. It's got to be kneaded and water mixed into it until it is uniformly, the water is spread all the way through. I've never done that with clay, but I've tried to do it with flour. I could not make biscuits as we're here tonight. I couldn't do it. Mix up some oatmeal the other morning. You got a little package, you know. It's got dried strawberries in it. And dried oatmeal, and it says a half a cup of water or milk. So I put a half a cup of milk in there and mix it up. But I didn't measure it. Just said a half a cup, so I estimated a half a cup. Mix it up and put it in a microwave, and it made wonderful glue when I got through. And there's a skill in all of that, knowing what to do. Oh, folks, the Lord knows what to mix into your life and mine. We're so much wiser to put our lives in His hands and let Him guide us. Let Him accept what He brings into our lives. You can't change it anyway. Life's going to have things in it that you would not choose for yourself. What we need is the Lord to knead us, to give us grace to deal with what we have to face. I mind many years ago, Brother Rice Gibson brought a message on this subject. He did a little research too. He actually went to visit a potter. And he asked the potter, what do you do if you mix some clay with the water and it doesn't come out the right consistency? And the potter reached over and he had a big old paddle. And he said, I lay it out here and give it a good paddling. And when I get through, it's mixed it all up. You know the Lord does that with His people sometimes too. Lay you out. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. For whom He loveth, He chasteneth. He's got to get us an even, smooth consistency all the way through. Because when the clay is put on the wheel and it begins to spin, if there's any air in the clay, it'll make a bubble. And where the bubble is, there'll be a little hole. There'll be a little defect in the product. If you and I have not had the Lord work with us, until He's kneaded out of us. Could I say self? Self is a defect. And it'll put a flaw in the vessel that the Lord's trying to make. We don't have the wisdom to get all the hot air out of ourselves. Scripture said most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man who can find. I've thought of that many times listening to people talk and say, Lord help me. I know that's a defect. And you get enough pressure on that and it'll give. It'll give. I want to be a vessel that'll be useful in the potter's hands, the master's hands. Can be trusted. And so the Lord has to pug us. Removes air from the clay and puts water in the clay and gets it to just the right consistency. And then the clay has to be wedged. The term is wedged. Now, to me, clay is basically mud. And I never liked to play in the mud. Some people enjoyed it. I guess if you were going to be a potter, you'd have to learn to like it. I never did like to play in the mud. When I was a little boy, and walked barefoot in the muddy mud running alongside the edge of the creek or somewhere, and that stuff would squeeze up between my toes, and I always hated that feeling. But people who work with clay have to learn to wedge it. And to actually do it so much. I can't tell much texture in mud except if there's rocks in it. Hurts my feet. And that's about it for me. But people who work with clay learn to align the particles that are in it. I didn't even know there were particles in clay, but there are. And in order to make the vessel, they've all got to be as much as possible in the same way. I suppose, like, to use my oatmeal comparison, it's like having the little flakes of oats pretty much in the same direction. You got to work with it until it gets to be that way. And so they massage it back and forth in their hands, turn it around and around, and work it like you would bread dough when they're working the air out of that. Only it's more difficult because it's firmer. That's the way the Lord does with us. If you want to be a vessel in the Lord's hands, you've got to be willing for Him to wedge you, which means He's going to massage you and rub you and reshape you and squeeze you. Just puts pressure on you. Squeeze you till you run out between His fingers. The Lord wants to put pressure on you and me, and it hurts, and the clay has no idea why this is going on. The clay does not have a vision of being a vessel. The most a clay can do is say, I give myself to You, Lord. You know better than I do where You're going with my life. So here I am. Take of me and make of me what You will. And so He does by wedging us. And when He wedges us, folks, we're wise to hold patiently still in the Lord's hands. Because to move away from Him will put a defect in our lives. So He wedges us and it lines the particles. And it makes us so the water in the clay is evenly distributed all the way out. I started to say about oatmeal a while ago. I mixed it up. But I didn't get the milk all the way through the oatmeal. I got little lumps here that are dry and others that are too wet. If you try to make a vessel out of clay like that, obviously it's going to have defects in it. Who knows when you need it to the right consistency? Only the Lord. I'll translate that this way in my life for the Lord. Nobody has ever held me back in the things of God. My career. People have tried sometimes because that's life. But in the end, the only one that's ever held me back is me, myself. And it'll be the same with you. If the Lord wants to use you in His service, He has a way to get you there. But you can't rush His process. You have to be willing to wait patiently on the Lord. The Scripture said, wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. You have to be willing for the Lord to massage you and to knead you until He sees the water is all the way through the clay, mixed up to the consistency that He wants. All the air is squeezed out. Everything is kneaded together until the particles are all aligned in the right direction. You know, the Bible said rebellion has a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is when our inner core is not aligned with the way that God is leading us. When we resent what He's bringing to us. When there's something in us that resists the plan and the pattern that He's trying to make of us. That is being out of alignment. If the Lord sees that's in us, He's going to keep massaging us till He gets everything lined up the way He wants it to be, and then He's still not ready. Puts a wedge clay on a piece of canvas and another piece of canvas on top of it and runs it through some rollers. And they make it all the same thickness all the way across. And that's what the potter's got to have before he starts working with the clay to make a vessel out of it. We sing a song sometimes that says, at the cross of Jesus bowing. I guess maybe you could say that's a way of looking up and seeing those big old rollers coming. All the places that have been high places, the Lord's about now to get them down. So they're all the same. All the places, He said, every high place would be made low. Every low place would be brought up. That's part of His way of doing it. Put you through some pressure. It's got to squeeze. The piece that's in a wedge typically will be in a lump, maybe big as this glass or a little bit bigger, and all one lump together. But when they put it on the rollers, that roller smashes it out like a pancake in every kind of direction. The Lord wants to be able to put you and me through the rollers, folks. All of this before He's ever made a vessel out of it. Still wouldn't hold a drop of water. Still couldn't use it for beams or anything. Put it through the roller. And then it's got to go on the wheel. Potter's wheel is not like I thought it was. It spins horizontally. It's like at the top of this desk where the potter's wheel is spinning round and round this way. And the potter sets his lump of clay after he's wedged it. He sets it on the wheel and then begins to form it with his hands. And he's got to know what he's going to make with it and what the consistency of it is. And smooths it out. Maybe if he wants it wider at the bottom, he might raise it up at the top. Take his thumb and put it in the middle of it while the clay is spinning. And it forces it to open up gradually into something like this. Use his thumb to smooth it around the sides. You ever want to pray, Lord, put your thumb on me. Begin to smooth me out into what you want me to be and open me up into the kind of vessel. He uses various instruments on it. He uses needles are called, a wooden one maybe, and a steel one that have different kind of points, and they cut different patterns and designs into them. And when it comes off the wheel, it's soft, it's wet, you can't do much with it. If you touched it, it'll leave a mark in it. All of this is what the Lord wanted Jeremiah to see. You know, we like to pray. Lord, I'm in trouble. Come down here to this altar. Heal me this minute. I want you to take all the things, the 30 years or 20 years of sin, somebody else's sin, maybe some of my sin, take it all away this moment and make me like I'd never undergone any of it. God will forgive you. He'll start the process. But it is a process. There is a way that the Lord has to work with every one of us to make us a useful vessel in His hand. It takes time. It takes steps. It takes careful dealing intricately at every different level. And it takes the Lord having a picture in mind of what He wants to make of us long before we have any idea or anyone else does what it could possibly be. After we lie on the wheel, like the old poet said, patiently spinning, I never could stand a wheel. I got on a playground wheel one time with somebody who spun it too fast and I couldn't get off. Me and another fellow, and I got so dizzy. And it still bothers me. I'll turn around three circles right now standing in this pulpit, I'd fall down. But to serve the Lord, you've got to be willing to lay on the wheel and get dizzy if need be. You don't always understand what's going to come out of this. I don't see how this could make anything. I'm just going around in circles. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. This is not my vessel. This is His vessel. This is not my house or your house. When He said, in a great house there are many vessels, He was speaking of the Lord's house. Oh, folks, the Lord has a vision for each one of our lives. One of life's greatest tragedies is sin. People that God intended to be so beautiful and useful, shattered and broken, because they didn't hold still in the Lord's hands and let Him work with them. We don't have the wisdom to know what He wants to make of us. We need to be willing to commit ourselves to Him. He will make something useful. Some may be a napkin holder. Some may be a teapot. Some may be to hold rice. Whatever it is. We want it to be what the Lord wanted the vessel to be. Because He put it in the wheel and spin it around and then set it up to dry till it reaches about the consistency of leather. And then He puts it in the fire. And the hotter the fire is, the better the glaze that's on the vessel. How much fire can you take before you're willing to quit? How delicate of a vessel the Lord can make out of you and me depends on how much fire is used on us. The temperature, the degree of it, the length of time that it's there puts a glaze on us. And then when He brings it out, it's ready for painting. Sometimes some layers that go on it. And the colors that go in it. How can I say? I've known some folks near the end of life's journey who had been in the potter's hands throughout their lifetime. I have been touched to the depth of my spirit by the gentleness and the sweetness and the love that can come from people like that. The faith, just simple faith in God, trust in the Lord, it marks you forever. Some of the most beautiful artwork in the world is made out of clay. Mosaics and murals and the beautiful colors that are there. The Lord wants to make something beautiful out of your life and mine, folks. Each one of us, if we'll allow Him to do so, and He make us useful in His kingdom, and when we come to the end, we'll be able to say, to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But the point of the 18th chapter of Jeremiah is the vessel that marred. There are people like that too. I say there are a lot of them in the world. The Lord was speaking to Israel about what happened when they marred. The Lord speaking to you and me about it too. O house of Israel, He said, now I better read the verse ahead. The vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So He made it again. Why did it mar? Maybe He couldn't get all the particles aligned. Maybe He couldn't get all the air out of it. Maybe He couldn't get the water through it like it needed to be. Did He give it up and throw it away? No, He didn't. And He doesn't want to you or me either. And He doesn't want us to give up on souls around us who fail or get in trouble. He wants to take that and start over again. Because He knows what He can do with it. From the ground up, if need be. And make it something else that's beautiful and useful. Sometimes people, after 30 years, after 40 years, half a lifetime, haven't been able to get the particles aligned, had rebellion against God, been unwilling to listen to His Word, ruined what the Lord would have made of them if they started when they were 18 or 16 to live for Him. But maybe half a lifetime's gone, and someone like that come, or near the end of life, and give himself to the Lord. He'll take what's there. And in His love and in His wisdom, He began to make something useful out of it. The lesson is, as long as there's life, there's hope. And the Lord wants us to look at the person who's caught in the old trap of sin and say, there's somebody who could be a beautiful vessel in the Lord's hands. Not despise, not hate, not be prepared to cast away. Love. It takes a touch of the Master's hand. He made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this evening. Amen.